You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. A recent survey by the Daily Mail found that 82% of Britons frequently mispronounce words. Common examples include espresso for espresso and prescription for prescription.
The British have some company in this country where anyone who speaks any language will tell you, hey, words get mispronounced all the time. In fact, that's part of the package deal with languages, according to our next guest, who says being a stickler for correct pronunciation can be a form of snobbery, maybe even shorthand for race or class bias. That said, it's always fun to talk about language and what we might be getting wrong and right, including pronouncing language on the airwaves.
Oh, well. Well, Martha Barnett is with us now. She does not judge you, Rob. She's the co-host of the public radio show Away With Words. Martha, welcome back.
Hi, y'all. Good to be here.
So, Martha, does it matter if we're mispronouncing a word or not?
Great question. I will tell you that pronunciation is intensely personal, and I cannot tell you the number of times that people have called our radio show and talked about a pronunciation that they said just made their skin crawl or felt like fingernails on a chalkboard. You're right. The thing that you said in your introduction about the fact that sometimes pronunciation just reflects where we come from and how we were raised. And I think the real key to getting exercised about pronunciation is if it messes up your spelling.
So that's the key. If the way we pronounce it makes us then turn and spell something wrong, that's when people should get worried?
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, a lot of pronunciation is pretty subjective, and a lot of it is changing all the time. I was reading an article, in fact, the other day about pronunciation, and it was saying that a lot of us make a mistake when we pronounce some word or other. I don't remember what it was, but what they said was we E-R-R. The word was E-R-R. Now, how do you guys pronounce it?
I err in the pronunciation, and not
err. Uh-huh.
I try not to say it because I'm never sure how to pronounce that one.
Yeah,
I talk around it. To err, right?
Exactly.
To err is human?
Yeah. You say err?
I guess so, if I had to.
I do, too. But guess what? I wasn't sure of myself either. And even as I was thinking about it, I just couldn't remember if it was err or err. And I looked it up in a number of manuals. And do you know that linguistic authorities are still holding on to that? To err is human?
Huh.
I did not know that.
You would think it would be like error or errant, but no, the traditional pronunciation for a long time was err. And, William Sapphire once said that when enough of us say it wrong, we'll be right. And more of us are saying it as air, and I imagine that in another generation it will be air. But, that's just a perfect example of someplace where I got tripped up.
Well, right, that's the classic example of what language does, isn't it? It's fluid, and if enough people say it maybe incorrectly, then the common speak changes, and that's the right way.
Exactly. The example I gave of spelling was reflected, wasn't it last week that there, did you all read about this, that Tracy McCreary, a state mm-hmm. representative in Missouri, introduced a bill? You read about this?
I did. She did. Her colleagues in the legislature were saying fiscal incorrectly.
Yes, they were saying physical when they were supposed to say fiscal. And I can see where that would possibly lead to a problem with spelling. Of course, the funny thing is that, I said that she's a state representative in Missouri, but I'm sure that there are Missouri people who would get on me for not saying Missouri.
Well, now, some of the words we mispronounce, a lot of us do the same thing, and maybe it's going to change over time. But it seems like there's a whole other category where there's the unique ones. And I think I've mentioned this one to you before, where for years I had read the word ancient and locked in my head that this is a word you say, ancient. And that's just flat out wrong. There was no, it's not like, that's not a gray area. A lot of us have our own little unique words that we just say wrong, right?
Right. Right. And if you think about it, pronunciation is a habit, right? We learn it really, really early. And sometimes we work to learn a pronunciation, and then when we hear somebody else pronounce it some different way, then we think, what? How could that possibly be? They're wrong. And they aren't necessarily, but in your case, you are.
And I want to be tolerant, Martha. I really do. But can you correct Rob on something for
Uh-oh.
Me?
I know where this is going.
Does it begin this way? I want to be tolerant. But
how would you pronounce the name of the Beatle
who played
the drums?
The first name.
The Beatle who plays the drums, you mean Ringo Starr?
Correct. I would certainly say it was Ringo Starr.
And I say Ringo, too, just like everybody else. See,
Ringo. Do you really?
I think it's such a subtle point that I don't hit the G hard enough that I wonder at one who would make a big deal about it.
Oh. So what are those four things on your hands?
Rings. Not rings.
Well, what are wearing the rings?
Ring what? My fingers.
Oh, not fingers?
Fingers. Ah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. I wonder why you say Ringo. I've never heard that one. But I'm fascinated that you do.
Huh. I'm not convinced I'm wrong.
Fascinating. She's being kind.
Yeah. We're talking about mispronunciations and gray areas that are acceptable in many ways with Martha Barnett from the radio show Away with Words. You can hear her, by the way, Sunday mornings at 9 here on the Ideas Network. So we mentioned, you say this can be sometimes over-focusing on pronunciation, could be a shorthand for maybe some kind of prejudice, Martha.
Well, sure. We just grow up with these preoccupations about this or that pronunciation. And I mean, think about the word et cetera. I mean, some people say, or it's two words, right? Et cetera. Some people say et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I can see where people could get snobby about that one because they're not realizing, apparently, that et cetera is actually two Latin words that literally mean and the rest. And so, yeah, it's to some degree, sometimes pronunciations can be a badge of education, but you sure as heck better make sure that you have it correct if you're going to correct somebody. There's something called Hartman's Law of Prescriptivist Retaliation. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Mm-mm. It goes, any article or statement about correct grammar, punctuation, or spelling is bound to contain at least one error. And that holds true for pronunciation as well. I can't tell you the number of times we get emails from people who are exercised about this or that mispronunciation, but in the message header, it will say grammar spelled with an E rather than a final A. So you've got to be careful when you're correcting people.
Well, Martha, you sent us a list of your top 10 or so, and on your list was the word M-O-O-T. What are you hearing people do with that one?
Moot, as in a moot point. A lot of people are saying a mute point, which sort of makes sense. Mm. If you're talking about a moot point, you're talking about something that is hypothetical. And that one, too, might be a measure of education because a moot point is a hypothetical point of discussion that's used as a teaching exercise for law students, and it goes back to in England, M-O-O-T, moot, was an assembly of people, and so you can see how that would lead to the notion of people discussing things and arguing. But some people say a mute point, meaning a silent point. And you can sort of see how that makes sense, but that is incorrect. And the other one that's not correct along those lines is moo point. I don't know if you're a fan of Friends, but on the show Friends, Joey talks about a moo point.
I missed that one.
That's very relevant in Wisconsin, definitely.
Right, I guess so.
Well, one word on your list that I sometimes steer clear of, and it's in this category of things that look like they should be maybe pronounced in a French way, is, am I standing in a foyer or a foyer?
Mm. Yeah, I just heard of that on a TV show last night. Foyer or foyer, I just say lobby or something like that, because that's one of those words that that we refer to as a skunked word, because either way you pronounce it, somebody is going to have a problem with it. The best pronunciation supposedly is foyer and not foyer, which sounds more affected supposedly.
And let's
But like you said, Veronica, sometimes I just try to word my way around things like that because as I said, terms like foyer or fort instead of forte, they, you know, people, you're going to offend somebody.
Well, another one of your words, Martha, was P-U-N-D-I-T. Tell us about that one.
Yes. Yes. Pundit, and more, especially in this election year, I'm hearing people say pundit.
Pundit.
You've heard that one?
I don't know if I've heard that much.
Just from Rob.
Huh?
No, not really.
I just heard somebody say it last night on TV because I'm following the elections, and somebody said pundit. You know who says pundit? Listen to Bernie Sanders.
Huh.
Bernie Sanders is pundit. He sticks an N in there between the I and the T, and it's not in there. And I don't know how he spells it, but he pronounces it in a way that's non-standard, pundit. It goes back to a Sanskrit word, pandit, which means a learned man.
Well, that's an interesting one. Maybe we'll have to tweet at Bernie Sanders and correct his pronunciation. Or maybe not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
We'll say Martha Barnett says.
I mean, plenty of people say it. Mm-hmm.
Martha Barnett is with us now. We're talking about words that we mispronounce. She's the co-host of the public radio show, Away With Words.
She's the pundit when it comes to language. And we want to hear from you. What word do you wonder if you're pronouncing correctly? Does it bug you when you hear people mispronounce words? What's your vote for most frequently mispronounced word? Have you said a word? Have you gotten it wrong before and maybe corrected other people only to be recorrected yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're back with Martha Barnett, co-host of the public radio show Away With Words. And we're talking about which words we mispronounce the most often and whether or not it's actually even worth caring about.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Which word do you hear mispronounced most often? Do you correct people? Should we correct people? What words do you have trouble with? Which ones do you stumble over? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now with Roxy in Luxembourg. Roxy, hi.
Hi there. My family corrects me or mocks me. And is it an all-you-can-eat buffet or is it all-you-can-eat buffet? Buffet or buffet?
Buffet or buffet?
Buffet. What do you say?
Which side are you on, Roxy?
I don't know. I guess I usually say, oh, it's a buffet.
So, but do you know people who say buffet?
Yeah.
Huh. That's not one I've encountered, Roxy. Martha, is that one you've run into?
I said it that way growing up, buffet. And oh. I think I got it from my mother, and I think she was thinking it was sort of Frenchified, and that's why she said it that way. But in American English, it's buffet.
I wonder, I mean, because you could be Martha Barnett and I could be Rob Ferret if people overdid this Frenchifying thing.
I like
that's
those.
That's true. Originally, I didn't have an E on the end of my name, but when my hillbilly family moved from the mountains to the town, my Aunt Mazo added an E just to look Frenchified.
Well, you could also be Martha Barnetti.
I could.
Slight twist on that.
Before,
all right, Roxy, thanks a lot for that. We're going to go next to Tina in Lake Geneva. Tina, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks
for putting me on the air. I say we definitely correct people. It's the only thing that separates us from the animal kingdom is our ability to perfect our speech. It is buffet, and it is a grand foyer if you live in the South, and it's a foyer if you're in Arkansas.
Huh.
So a lot of it's colloquialism, but my pet peeve is people who make up words. I'm an educator. I hear other teachers that I work with say, look it to students.
Instead of look
at. Directing them instead of look at. They say, look it. Look it is not a word. It's nowhere in an English dictionary.
So they allied to words.
Yes.
I don't know. I might be inclined to take a lighter hand with that one, but I don't know. I'm not an educator. What do you think about that one, Martha?
I have heard that a lot in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. I didn't hear it looking up. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it growing up in Kentucky, but I'm looking in the Dictionary of American Regional English based there in Madison, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's sometimes pronounced look it, mm-hmm. indeed. So I would say it's a regional expression.
That's an interesting one.
Not excruciatingly correct standard English. And you know what? I do have to apologize to your caller before, because I have found buffet in the American Heritage Dictionary as we're sitting here. I'm not seeing it in others, but that sort of proves our point, doesn't it? That you can't always take one dictionary at its word, because
right.
different dictionaries say different things about pronunciation. So I would say go to the buffet and bon appetit.
Well, I'm just going to give up then, I think. We'll go back to our callers, though. We've got James on the line in Madison. James, hi.
Hi, guys. Great show. Thanks for sharing. So I explained this is technically my brother's story, but since he lives out of state, I'm taking license of sharing on his behalf. I recall him telling me when he was in high school, I believe it was his English class, they encountered the phrase faux pas, which, having not heard before, he pronounced fox pas. And his snooty classmate quickly rebutted him, saying, "Oh, you mean faux pas," with her nose held high in the air. So
James,
those French ones tend to get us.
Thanks for that. And, you know, that's one I probably mispronounced at some point in my life, because I, like a lot of words, probably read it before I heard it. Martha, this is more etiquette than language, but is there a right way, a nice way, a polite way to helpfully give the right pronunciation without, you know, being condescending about it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm identifying with the time in fourth grade when I was trying to read a story to the class, and I was talking about a character named Penelope. And I finally got corrected. You know, somebody told me it was Penelope, but those kinds of moments can be absolutely humiliating. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you're going to correct somebody, we say this all the time on the show, if you're going to correct somebody, please, number one, make sure that you're right, and number two, do it in private. Take this person aside privately, and really, there's no reason to play gotcha. You can use it as the start of a conversation.
Well, thanks to James for that. And I actually say, yeah. I kind of like fox paws.
Yeah.
I think we should all start
saying
that.
We're going to try to make that a thing.
Let's make that a thing.
Yeah, kind of gingerly. Yeah.
It's a sort of mistake that make even the clever fox pause for a moment.
See? You can rationalize
good.
That one. All right, James, thanks so much for the call. And we're going to go next to Tim in Amherst. Tim, hello.
Hi. I have a question. I am a very bad speller. So if I can't spell a word, how am I supposed to know how to pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Fair question. Martha.
Oh, if you can't, yeah. I guess listen very carefully to how folks you admire and respect are pronouncing things. I completely identify. But, I will tell you that one of the best writers I ever knew when I worked at the Louisville Courier-Journal in Kentucky was the world's worst speller. So some of us just don't have that gift. I'm not sure I can offer advice for that.
We're talking about mispronounced words with Martha Barnett from the radio show Away With Words. Our next caller is Dave on the line in Madison. Dave, hi.
Hello. I've got one that I've noticed it for a number of years, and it's always, whenever I've heard it, it kind of grabbed me. I always say strength, the strength of a physical substance.
Uh-huh.
But I hear on the radio and hear other places where it's the strength of something.
Strength,
and I'd like to know if I'm just blowing that word or what.
The E changed a little, and it sounds like the G gets dropped there, Martha.
Yes, the G gets dropped, and it's like length. Some people say length, and it's sort of in that same family of words where some people say height instead of height. They add an H on the end of that, and it's not a standard pronunciation, but you do hear it a lot.
Well, thanks so much for that call, and a quick one here. From Margaret in Wisconsin Rapids. Margaret, hi.
We have a difference of opinion in our family on how to pronounce coupon. Some of us say coupon and some say coupon.
Coupon.
And we don't know if that's a regional thing.
The correct answer is coupon.
You're turning everything French today, Rob. I don't know. What do you think, Martha?
Yeah, I'm looking in one dictionary and it says just coupon, It does come from French, from coupé, meaning to cut. So that's probably why some people are saying coupon. But, you know, that's one of those that can go either way. And that's one of the fun things to argue about, right?
Coupon or coupon? Well, clearly what we
I'm
need to do is drop French words from the language.
Yeah. One of my favorites is theater. I had a friend who said it theater. And I looked it up in a dictionary, and that was an allowable one. So maybe the lesson here, Martha, is we shouldn't lose too much sleep because most of the time both ways are right.
That's absolutely true. And, yeah, you can look up in different dictionaries, as I said. Some of them have different things. I mean, I'm looking at the American Heritage right now, and I don't see that pronunciation that you're mentioning. But I'm sure if I opened up something else, like the Dictionary of American Regional English based there in Madison, I'm sure I would see theater. I think the bottom line is that we have a lot of differences in pronunciation, and a lot of them are to be celebrated.
All right. That's a good place to leave it. Thanks to Martha Barnett from Away With Words. You can catch her Sunday mornings at 9 on the Ideas Network. Keep this mispronunciation conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page.